And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hello and welcome to Front and Nationwide. This is The Athletic's dedicated Blue Jackets podcast. Aaron Portson with you on a Wednesday today. Boy, I'm glad we waited. Allison Lucan is here. Hello, Allison.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. Lots to discuss and write about in Blue Jackets land. We kind of had that inkling that big stuff's coming, and I'm not sure that they're done, to be honest with you. But big news yesterday, the Blue Jackets trade Josh Anderson to the Montreal Canadiens for Max Domi and a third-round pick in this year's draft. It'll be number 78. They'll be getting after that later today when the second round of the NHL draft begins. Later in the day, the Blue Jackets held on to their 21st pick and made a bit of a surprise, selecting Russian right winger Yegor Chinnikov at number 21. Highly skilled player, highly surprising pick, and we'll get to that later in the podcast. But let's start with the big news, the big trade, Allison, Josh Anderson to Montreal for Ty Domi. The Blue Jackets lose their power forward, a player we've seen really, really emerge here before taking a step back last season. But they gain an all-important centerman. They now have a second-line centerman behind Pierre-Luc Dubois. And who knows if Domi's going and Dubois's not, as we've seen Dubois have sort of ups and downs in his time in Columbus, his early first few years in the league. I think it's probably best to look at them both as top six centers and let it sort out from there. But hugely important that the Blue Jackets get a center to move forward here heading into next season.
Absolutely. And, you know, I want to say, too, first, as you mentioned, of course, Josh Anderson, we were lucky to follow him his entire hockey career from draft on. I mean, I was able to go watch him in the Memorial Cup in 2014, and I think that's a special player. I think he's someone that can be a difference maker, and it's funny to me. Everyone's like, oh, the shoulder, he's damaged goods. I'm like, well, Zach Werenski had a damaged shoulder, and sure, yet here we are. So I think we should all just challenge ourselves to wish the player well. There doesn't have to be a knock on him as he leaves. But, you know, I think that if we look at the underlying parts of each of these players, there's some give and take there, Domi versus Anderson. But obviously, as you say, the positional difference gives the edge to Domi as a good fit right now as well as that pick, of course. And I think that knowing what we seem to know about Torts and what he expects out of Pierre-Luc Dubois and what Pierre-Luc Dubois might be able to become, this competition might be a great thing for Dubois as well.
Totally.
And really help challenge him to take his game to where we've seen glimpses of it most recently in that series against Toronto in particular, on a really consistent basis and become a truly top center in the NHL.
Yeah. And you look at Josh Anderson's situation in Columbus, say that everything's fine, say that he re-signs. He is very clearly a right winger, as are Bjorkstrand and Atkinson. So
yes,
I'm not by any means saying that the Blue Jackets didn't have room for Josh Anderson. Everyone has room for that player.
Right, exactly.
When he's at his best. But it's hard to look at that on the right side and be okay with that when you look at center ice and you go, oh my God, like they have got to do something there. There was a desperate need. I tend to think that the Domi acquisition makes a Alexander Wennberg buyout more likely. And yet, I think it was going that way anyways, if they couldn't trade him.
Right.
So I still think it goes that way. I'm not sure how much Domi has to do with it other than they now have their guy. I don't think they thought Wennberg was going to be their guy at the second line center. I think that ship had sailed. So, but they've got their guy now. Domi had an explosive first year in Montreal and really became a rock star in that city. 28 goals, 72 points. And then it fell apart for him this year. I mean, he dropped and people in Columbus are well up to speed with players not having great years after having good years. It happens. He went to 44 points. And then he showed up late to training camp as they got ready to restart the season. There was some reluctance there. Some people thought he may not even play Max Domi because he is diabetic, because that is certainly a high-risk category for the COVID-19 pandemic. But he was there. And to hear him tell it, there was just not much communication and great confusion on his part. He wants to play center. He's willing to play anywhere, but center's where he feels like he plays best. And it's hard for anyone, myself included, to believe that the Canadiens are so deep at center that Max Domi doesn't fit anywhere there. But that's sure what it looked like in the postseason. 10 games, 3 points, really not a factor. That team played great in their qualifying upset of Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. But then didn't really see much from them in Philadelphia. They need Max Domi to be a difference maker, and he wasn't. So that sort of portended his exit from Montreal. Allison, one day earlier, Jarmo Kekalainen said he doesn't believe in ultimatums, that he had not given a hard deadline to Josh Anderson in his camp about negotiating a contract, or getting a contract done, I should say. As far as if it's not done by now, we're going to move you. Yesterday, he signaled that it was made clear to Anderson that if they were having issues signing an extension, if he could not be signed to a long-term deal, he was going to be traded. That is in its own way an ultimatum. But I think the bigger issue here is that the market of available centermen, is so thin that Jarmo Kekalainen felt like he needed to act pretty quickly. And when the Canadiens put the third round pick in, that made it all systems go. Your thoughts on just how it came to pass and the dynamics around it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, every move like this has a risk threshold, right? And Jarmo certainly, as you alluded to, even with the Wennberg situation, certainly could have elongated this process. But it sure helps to have some of these big question marks answered sooner rather than later, particularly going into a draft, going into free agency, going into such a weird season with the cap. Getting issues, questions addressed and answered sooner certainly helps. And, while Jarmo clearly said that there is no extension to be announced today, Wednesday, with Max Domi, he signaled to us last night that he's confident that is going to be an end result of this relationship. And I think, that's the big difference maker there. I have always said with Josh Anderson that the fundamental question that I needed answered was, does Josh Anderson truly want to be in Columbus? I don't know that we ever got the answer to that question publicly. But I think that if that was not answered to the Blue Jackets front office to their satisfaction, unfortunately, it makes sense to move on. And Yarmo set his risk threshold at now, and I respect that. I think it makes sense. And now he can move forward fine-tuning this team to what he wants it to be.
Yeah. I just feel like these two sides, Anderson and his agent, Darren Ferris,
and he's also Domi's agent.
Yeah, right. I mean, in one sense, they traded from one RFA with arbitration rights represented by Darren Ferris to another RFA with arbitration rights represented by Darren Ferris. I think it's good to just have a different person that's being discussed. Because it had been a topic for so long. I just think there was a fundamental difference 3 years ago when they signed Anderson's contract that that's currently on the cusp of expiring. There was a fundamental difference of, okay, yeah, you're a hell of a player, but we have the hammer now. And the Blue Jackets are one of the few teams that articulates, we have the hammer and we're going to hit you over the head with it. Look, we're hitting you over the head with it.
Here we are hitting
most
you.
Teams,
again.
Most teams are a little more subtle with it than that. They have the hammer, but you don't talk about the hammer. You just sort of, you put it on the table. You let the guy see that it's yours. And since then, I think there's just been sort of a fundamental disagreement about who the player is or what the player is. And I think that continues today. I think there was, as if they needed more difficulty, the idea that he goes from 27 goals, Josh Anderson, to one goal just made it further more difficult to get anything done, because I think there was an expectation on the player's part that, come on, you know I'm a 27-goal guy when I'm healthy. And the team saying, I see one goal last year in 26 games. Like, you know, what's going on here? And it just, there wasn't, they just hadn't spoken the same language for a number of years, to the point where I don't think they end on awful terms, but I think Josh Anderson moves on to the Montreal Canadiens wanting to really stick it to Columbus while not disliking the city, not having any huge personal vendetta, loving his teammates by all accounts. Nick Foligno speaks of him like a little brother. But I think they're going to get a very motivated player in Montreal. And I think Columbus gets that as well with Max Domi. So these are the kind of trades you like. This is the kind of trade I think you could see coming down Fifth Avenue. It just seemed to fit for all parties involved.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
What kind of player, Allison, when you look at Max Domi, what's there as a player? This is a speedy, skilled, gritty guy. Not, you know, old timers like myself hear Domi and think Ty Domi, who I loved, by the way. But he is not that, and never was that. Much more skilled than his old man. But he's a fascinating player with a lot of different sort of talent traits. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And I, you know, it's always interesting to me, and we recognize the realities that Columbus is not a team that's consistently on the international hockey dashboard. So there was a lot of, oh, we're going to look at points and say Josh Anderson only had one goal last year and he must suck and this is a terrible trade. And this is, you know, it's blue people who have watched this player. This is part of why those of us who say look beyond the points say those things. Because points aren't necessarily always an accurate measure. And to that effect, you know, Domi had a down year, quote unquote, in terms of points last year, but his underlying numbers actually improved, not hugely, but improved. He brings a more offensive upside. He has had great success on the power play. The one thing that I will think is going to be interesting, and we've talked about this a million times, I'm not going to buy into the narrative of Torts is going to blow this guy out of the water. That is not what I'm saying here. But Domi is a little less effective defensively. And particularly when you look at the ask to play down the middle of the ice, it's going to be a part of his game, particularly in the Blue Jackets system, which I think will start to become more offensively free given the talent upgrades they're trying to make. There's still going to be that defensive ask. And so That's something I'm going to watch for, again, particularly given the role that he's being slotted into with this team. But if you compare the players apples to apples, it is so close in so many of the measures. You're gaining offense, but again, that defensive drop is something that I will be watching closely.
Yeah, and Torts, you know, has this reputation, but he does work with guys and teach guys quite well.
Exactly, 100%.
In terms of defensive play in this zone. It's not always a contentious, explosive relationship, although I know people are having a chuckle about Max Domi and Torts being together. Just speaking to Max yesterday, he seemed thrilled at the idea. He couldn't wait to talk to Torts. He was oddly, incredibly excited to talk to John Tortorella after he talked to Kekalainen. I loved that he was on. He had just finished the 15th hole and checked his cell phone, Allison, and he's like, "Oh my god! Like I've got like a ton of phone calls from Bergevin, the Montreal GM." Yeah. I got a bunch of calls from 614, it's Yarmocel. And he did what anybody would do. He finished his round, of course. and then he got to back to making phone calls. But he is he's a charismatic guy. Like his dad was incredibly so. The kid's very much the same way, a very high energy player. And of course, you know, strangely enough, really, really good friends with Josh Anderson, the guy he was traded for, which seems to be the way it works in the NHL so often. I mean, you look at this team now. Let's just look at the top two lines, the candidates. Dubois, Domi down the middle. On the right side, you go Atkinson, Bjorkstrand in some order. Mm-hmm. On the left side, I think you've got Gustav Nyquist penciled into one of those two spots for sure. Mm-hmm. And you've got Texier and Foligno as candidates to be either first or second or third line guy. I think those are your top three. Good enough, Allison, or should Jarmo Kekalainen still be working more?
I mean, it's an improvement, but I do think they should be looking to improve more. Yes.
Yeah, I'm okay with them. I'm okay with
them. Yeah, but
it's
not great. Like, it's not great yet.
It's not great. I think you got to be careful though, because you've got a $5.5 million guy in Foligno, perhaps on the third line. If you add another centerman, it perhaps gives Boone Jenner the chance to move back to the wing. Mm-hmm. And we talked about this before. If they can put Boone on one wing and Foligno on the other, and add a third line center, well, now you really like where you're at, and I don't mind Boone necessarily even as a second line winger with the right other players. So there's some but I you look at the roster today, and again, this is by no means saying that this team's better without Josh Anderson, but things fit better right now than they did before. You can get away with having centers playing wings. You cannot get away with not having enough centers, and this team's had a dearth of centers for 3 years now, other than the brief time they had Duchesne.
Yes, agree.
Yeah. You said Domi's a good power play guy?
He's shown that, but, you know, the Blue Jackets' power play confounds.
It does. Yeah.
let me pull that up where I was. My login has expired into that system, which is always fun. There we go. But, yeah, I mean, he's – I know, you know, particularly in Montreal, he was ending up down on the second unit, if I recall there, which obviously impacts your opportunity. But let me pull this up here. Yeah, on the power play, He is a significant driver of shot quality when he's on the ice. I'm using HockeyViz.com's impact model, which measures in terms of shot quality. And he's above average by almost by more than 10%, and also has the ability to draw penalties. So you certainly have to think that they're going to try him there. That power play can use any help it can get. So I would think that that's something that the Blue Jackets are certainly going to look at.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
Which little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
All right, Allison. So the Blue Jackets acquire Max Domi. I'm going to say Ty Domi at some point, but they acquire Max Domi, and that was the big news earlier in the day. Then they get to the draft, and there was some thought that Jarmo could be on the move at the draft. He assured earlier in the day, or was it the day before, speaking to The Athletic, that he was for sure going to give his scouts a first-round draft pick. Now, he didn't say it was going to be 21, meaning they weren't necessarily going to keep the pick, but he wanted a first-round draft pick. And they get to number 21, and some interesting names are there. Hendricks LaPierre, a really, really gifted player who's had some injury problems. Jakob Perreault is there. Connor Zeri is there. Ridley Gregg is there. Maverick Bourque. I mean, Brendan Brisson. There's some guys that people think pretty highly of. And so I've got the pen ready, charged and ready to go. The Pilot G207, of course. And Jarmo says, we're going to take Yegor Chinnikov. And I'm like, oh, whoa, flip to page two. Not there. Flip to page three. And then I see good friend of the program, Ryan Kennedy of the Hockey News, say, I have no idea who he is, which is hilarious because this guy knows everything about the draft. I'm like, who in the hell is Yegor Chinnikov? And what the hell is Jarmo doing? Because this guy was all over the map, 30th among just European skaters in Central Scouting. Not even on the board for some draft gurus. And we'll get into this in a little bit. Doesn't mean they're always right. Doesn't mean they are right. But it's shocking to see a guy be that high on an NHL team's list and so low almost everywhere else. Now, I'll say this real quickly. I sent out lines yesterday. One team said, it seems a little high, but if you like the player, shoot your shot. Another team said, we had him number 28. And another Metro team said they had him extremely high too. Your response last night, Allison, when the Blue Jackets drafted right winger Yegor Chinnikov.
Yeah, I mean, and I have said this. I am certainly not a draft expert, so I turn to those who I know follow these players. It looks like a reach if you're going on public perception. And I have to respect that opinion from people who are better talent evaluators than I am at that level and that age. Things that concern me are that this player is an overager, was draft eligible last year, was not selected.
Right.
His point production is great this season, but we don't want to look at the short game. We want to look at the long game. Things that flip my perspective a little bit, however, I'm going to quote friend of the show, Jean-Luc Grandpierre of Fox Sports Ohio. There's obviously a thread here, a connection with the former NHL coach Bob Hartley, who was raving about the player. Jean-Luc says, per Bob Hartley's words, that the player has an elite shot, is improving consistently, heavily utilized. And Jean-Luc has played for Coach Hartley and said that is not a coach that walks around throwing compliments, and I'm quoting Jean-Luc. And then Jean-Luc made the great point. Remember, Artemi Panarin was never drafted either. So this is an organization that tends to go zig when everyone expects them to zag. It does feel like a reach. It's going to be something to watch. And I think it's going to be a heavily scrutinized pick. But I found Yarmo, and this is not a dig, I found him almost defiant last night when people were like, who is this guy? And he was like, I can't believe you don't know who he is.
Yeah, right, right. He loves that. He loves it.
Yeah, he totally. So I was surprised. The people whose opinions I trust seem to lend caution with this pick. Some suggest it's the biggest reach of the first round. But time will tell. Yarmo finds talent where others don't always. They've had some unique connections to find talent in Russia. We look at the young goaltender, Daniil Tarasov, who no one was paying attention to, and now everyone is saying is perhaps one of the most talented goaltending prospects out there. So we shall see.
Yeah. I mean, it, you don't have to look too hard to think of Yarmo draft surprises.
Right.
Tarasov was a bit of a surprise.
Yes.
Really, Alexander Texier. I think a lot of teams like Texier, but no, they didn't have the balls to draft him.
Agree.
And Yarmo takes him second round 45. Those are, so far, Texier looks like a player. Mm-hmm. Tarasov, again, is a prospects are what prospects are, but he looks like a hell of a prospect. It's a prospect. And this one wasn't, you got to be careful with this one because he didn't go way off the board to take Dubois. But everyone thought they would take Puljujarvi in the spot where they took Dubois. So that was a surprise too. That was a zig instead of a zag. But it wasn't.
Yeah.
This one was like, who? Like,
right.
So,
right.
You know, the threat there, and Yarmo articulated this a couple times. He has learned that if you really, really like a guy, and and so they build their lists. You'd be surprised at how different each team's list looks. Like I think some are probably drastically different than the others. And so Yarmo and his crew had Chinnikov in their top 10, which means there's a lot of names crossed off their big board list. And there's one name sitting up there near the top. He wouldn't tell us exactly where, but that stands out like a sore thumb. And the one thing he's learned, and he articulated this twice, is like, if you want a guy and there's a guy that you thought should have gone much earlier and he's still there and you really, really like him, don't trade back because there's a chance somebody else really, really likes him too. He had opportunities to trade back. He said as much. And he didn't take those opportunities because he feared losing the player. So something you have to consider. One thing I'll say, and I'll try to keep this short because it's a topic I'm passionate about. I'm not a big college football fan or an Ohio State football fan, but I always use this as the example. Several years ago, there was a quarterback from Northeast Ohio named Justin Zwick, who from the time he was 16 years old, people fell over themselves trying to find the superlative that was strong enough to tell you how great a player he was.
Mm-hmm.
And all you heard, this kid is almost NFL ready before he gets to Ohio State, right? I mean, crazy, huge arm, great pocket poise, all of these things. The Buckeyes land him, and I can't remember what year it was, what draft class that was, but it was huge news that Justin Zwick, one of the most sought-after quarterbacks in the country, was coming to Ohio State. Meanwhile, there was an athlete, and I use that term specifically because that's the position he came to Ohio State playing. Troy Smith, athlete. And nobody thought he was going to be a quarterback at Ohio State except Troy Smith, right? And then you get on the football field and you watch them play. Troy Smith was an incredible college football player.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Zwick couldn't play at that level of college football. It had no chance of being in the pros. And I think what happens is, and I think you see it in all sports, it's not unique to any of them. A guy gets pegged in a certain area, Justin Zwick, elite. And the next guy making his mock draft or his draft comparisons can't possibly have the guts to say, I don't think he can play, right?
Right. Right.
And NHL teams and pro scouts do this sort of thing all the time where they may have a guy at 8 that another team has at 55, and they may have a guy at 22 that another team has at 310. but they're not all shaping their lists to conform loosely to other lists that are there as a defense mechanism to making themselves look silly. So when you look at these mock drafts that people put together, and again, I love them. I freaking love drafts. It doesn't matter what sport it is. I read them all the time. But no one has a guy going early first, and then another guy has him going late fourth.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? There's conformity. Thoughts on my ramble there, Allison?
Well, I mean, I do. I think it's human nature that,
yep,
you know, if I'm evaluating something that might be new or fresh, I'm going to kind of look around to those I trust and say, am I hitting this? Do you agree? Like, am I totally off base here? So I think that's human nature, and I think that's fine. I also think, and I say this with full respect to scouts and those who do these evaluations, because as I already said, I am not as skilled as they are in that part of this game. But you can't possibly know every single player. You just can't.
No.
It's just impossible. And I will also say that, I mean, do you think Jarmo Kekäläinen is not aware of how important it is that he get first round picks, at least remotely, right?
Yeah, right, right.
You know, this isn't a guy who's just like, we'll see, who cares? Maybe, maybe not. So it's a crazy pick. But there is a bit of groupthink that goes on in all things. It's exactly like what I talked about earlier, where the majority of people who have not watched Josh Anderson play look at his point totals and go, this is an injured guy who had one goal. That's not right.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So I want to, again, reiterate full respect to talent evaluators who have seen this player, full respect to those who evaluate prospects far better than I ever can. But you also have to give credit to the Blue Jackets scouting team, say they think they know what we're doing and we'll only know in a few years from now. I'm never going to bash a pick for that reason. It looks interesting. It looks different. It goes against the grain, but I'm not going to say it's insane. We have to see.
Yeah. Well, I always think this, like, it doesn't, and I don't believe for a minute that these teams don't look at what the other draft services say about players.
Sure.
I think they do, just out of pure interest. I do. And I don't mean to minimize the work that the scouting report services do. It's informed. It's helpful. They're passionate 100%. About it. And it's entertaining 100%. As hell. It's informative as hell. It's great. And we take from it all the time in our draft prep and our draft coverage. The thing that bothers me is not those people being outraged by picks.
Yes.
But people who I have never seen Yegor Chinnikov.
Right.
I've never heard of him before last night. To be critical of the pick, and honestly, I've seen very few of these players, if any of them, play live.
Yes.
I don't think I've seen any of them play live. I don't think most NHL beat writers have seen any of them play live. Right. And so we're forming many people in these drafts form really strong opinions about things that are fairly weakly sourced. And so I think you got to be careful with that. One last topic to get to, the Blue Jackets. And I think this is interesting. You could say that their top prospects are almost all Russian.
Mm-hmm.
And they added to that last night.
Yes.
So you go, you know, we talked about Tarasov. You go Kirill Marchenkov. You go Dmitry Voronkov. You go Yegor Chinnikov. Four elite prospects. I mean, it's interesting. I wonder if they up their Russian presence in terms of player development. And I'm not joking, because they've got so many guys over there.
Yep. Yeah. I think, you know, and I hinted at this earlier as well. This is just like they had hidden skill in evaluating goaltending that other organizations didn't seem to maximize. What I read in this, and I have not asked this question directly, this is an organization right now that feels like it might have a little bit of a corner on the Russian market in terms of finding talent maybe that other people aren't looking at.
Right.
But it really is an interesting choice for sure.
I think we should go to Russia.
I would love to go to Russia.
Not right now.
Honestly.
Not right now.
Well, I don't want to go anywhere right now.
Exactly. But I think there's a story there.
Yes.
Yes.
Agree.
The red jackets, if you will.
Indeed.
Yes.
Indeed.
Anything else, Allison? We got round two today.
Yes.
Max Domi to speak here shortly. We got him yesterday, but we'll see what he has to say this morning as well. You were going to say?
Yep. Just, I think, and you've written on this, but just a couple updates. We know that Alexander Texier has changed where he will be playing. He's going to stay in France, back with Grenoble, so that he can continue to be close to his family situation. But he has terminated his agreement where he was going to originally play. And also, as you noted, Cole Sherwood not going to be playing overseas just yet. Waiting to see how that pans out. Just wanted to keep those updates here as well as in writing as you've already delivered them.
Yep. Well, good to say. And Devin Shore not qualified, I think probably the news of that group, the player they acquired for Filatov at the trade deadline. I don't think anyone expected him to be qualified at $2.3 million, but he will be a free agent along with a few others of their minor leaguers. Second round draft picks, Ryan Collins and Paul Bittner also not qualified. So yeah, more of those this year than ever. Allison, thanks for your time as always. Blue Jackets fans, thanks for listening. Thanks to our producer, Danielle Chip Lehman. Thanks to David Cook for that awesome theme music. We'll be back with you on Friday or perhaps earlier if there's big news to report. We will talk to you then. Thanks so much.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.